Dearly beloved, thank you for the invitation to speak God's word. And it is my joy to share God's word to you as we have read the scriptures in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the first few verses of the scriptures. I will go through it as I go through the sermons. Today I ask myself this important questions. Is my life worth living? And I would like to answer these questions with these three main points, which I will elaborate to you afterward. First of all, the three main points I want to share with you is that a life worth living is one who finds Christ. Second, a life worth living is one who is like Christ. And thirdly, a life worth living is one who lives for Christ. These are the three main points that I will share with you on this Lord's Day. Is life worth living? Many answered no. Simply because they do not have Christ Jesus in them. Without Christ, life is empty, meaningless, and of course, discontent. A discontented person is covetous, greedy, worldly, and of course, materialistic. If you were to read the scriptures, Paul warns Timothy and all of us about the danger of being covetous. He shared with them that wealth does not bring contentment. And the word contentment means an inner sufficiency that keeps us at peace in spite of outward circumstances. And then we see that Paul used this same word later. He said, "For I learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content." True contentment comes from godliness in the heart, not wealth in the hand. A person who depends upon material things for peace and assurance will never be satisfied. For material things will have a way of losing their appeal. Let us remember that we brought nothing into this world and we carry out nothing out of this world. The greed for wealth leads to sin and death. And this is very true. And let me illustrate with this story for our clear understanding and greater impressions, as later on we leave this place, we will be able to capture the gist of the message that greed will bring leads to sin and death. Here is a story of three men who lost all because of their greed. Once there were three men who stayed in the same village. They were not satisfied with what they have. They would say that there is no future in this small town. So one fine day, the three men set off for a big town, which they believe that this place can offer them much better prospect. Along the way, they saw a big box. It was curiosity that they opened it. And to their surprise, they discovered that there were countless pieces of jewelry. So they decided that this jewelry should be divided there and then among themselves. But one of them suggested that since it was already past noon, they should have lunch first. The others agreed, and he offered to buy lunch for them. While he was away, a wicked thought suddenly came to mind of the two remaining ones. In order to have a larger share each, they would ambush and kill him when he returned. When he returned, they got rid of him. Now the two sat down happily and then enjoyed the food. However, before they had finished eating all the food, they sensed something was wrong. The next morning, they start holding their stomachs and they soon dropped flat on the ground. They were all dead. The food had been poisoned by the friends who had earlier volunteered to do them a favor. So we can see this important understanding that greed will bring to death. And here, Timothy is urging us, and of course the Christians, to flee away from such things as greed. That is the greed for money. The desire to become rich by improper means have caused many to murder, rob, divorce, enter into marriage without love. And all these are the result of one's dissatisfactions in life. However, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, Paul says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. Your conversation," means your manner of life, "be without covetous and be content with such things as ye have. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And if you were to refer with me in Psalms 23, verse 1, where the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What does it mean by this? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd. In him I have everything I need. In him I have everything I need. Although there will be times of lacking, but we fear nothing about it. And this is very true to many of us, as I want to give biblical examples of how men of old had found satisfactions in God. Esau and Jacob are reported as saying, "I have enough. I have enough." This is in reference to Genesis chapter 39, verse 9 and verse 11. Two persons. Esau said, "I have enough." Jacob said, "I have enough." In the original meaning, in the original word, in the Old Testament, actually Esau said, "I have much." Whereas Jacob says, "I have everything," or "I have all things." And yet, Jacob was a poorer person than Esau. A Christian should say, "I have not only enough, but I have all because I have God who owes all things." So if we depend upon God, we need not be anxious. And this is very true, because if you live godly lives, you need not suffer what we know as anxiety and anxiousness. This is the secret that life is worth living, because in Christ, we have everything. In Christ, we find satisfactions. Contentment is not found in having everything, but being satisfied with everything that you have. Whatever God gave it to you, you are satisfied. You are happy of what God has given it to you. And then you can say, "I'm satisfied with what I have." So we can say that a life worth living is one who found in Christ. And in Christ, He is the one who provides us for every need. Paul told the Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul teaches us to be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious for anything. Be prayerful for everything and be thankful for all things. This can be a sermon itself. Be anxious for nothing. Be prayerful for everything and be thankful for all things. If you do this, you will experience the inner peace in your hearts, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guide your hearts and minds as you live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me elaborate. Men of, not only of old, but men who have experienced the goodness of God despite of being poor, in the sense that materialistically poor but spiritually rich. Jonathan Goforth, who was a pioneer missionary in China. 3 times he and his wife lost all their supplies and belongings. The first was fire. The second was caused by the flood. And the third was by the Boxer Rebellion. These calamities left them in destitute in the foreign land. Drying his wife's tears, he said, with a strong and pure courage, which characterized men of God with spiritual maturity. He said to his wife, well, my dear wife, after all these that we have lost were just material things. Life is more important than these material things and comfort. Cheer up. We will get along somehow. God will provide. He will see to our need. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us. And this should be our comfort and strength. So the first point I want to bring to your attention is life worth living? A life worth living is one who finds Christ. If you have Christ in you, life is worth living. That is a very important, first important point is that Jesus Christ must be in you. You must have Christ in you, and then you will find life full of satisfaction. The second is a life worth living is one who is like Christ. God wants us to resemble Jesus in words, attitudes, and of course in actions. Someone has said, Jesus is the original photographs and we are the reprint. With Christ living in us, we have to be the feet for Jesus walking, our ears for Jesus hearing, our face to reflect him, and of course our eyes for his seeing, and our lips for his speaking. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. A one who is following the footsteps of Paul and of course following the Lord Jesus Christ is one who follows after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. He manifests the virtue and the characteristics of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Righteousness, it means being in right relationship with God. And this is a very important factor. We must have a right relationship. If you are godly, if you have Or if you are living a Christ-like life, then your relationship between your husband and wife must be good. Of course, husband and wife have tensions, but the tension must be very minimum. The Christian couple should be like this, sweeter as the years goes by. My wife said, don't embarrass her. Yeah, sweeter as the years goes by. So the relationship must be good. But sinful men have established their own righteousness. They prefer to be broad-minded and would like to call sin as unfortunate mistake. And they label pornography as modern art. I said, never mind, don't worry, this is modern art, you must appreciate it. But it's pornography. By God's grace, the Christians does righteously because he has been made righteous by Jesus Christ. The Christian lives according to the righteousness of God. So we must be like Christ, righteous, and we are righteous because we have the righteousness of Christ in us, and therefore we are able to manifest righteous living with one another. The next is godliness. Goodness is not godliness. I want to emphasize, goodness is not godliness. Being good does not mean godly. A person can be good and yet without being godly. It is dangerous to assume that just because his conduct is above reproach, he is right with God. A person who is morally right might not rely and depend upon God. How important it is that we should and we must check ourselves to make sure that we do not substitute our goodness for godliness. Godliness is a virtue that comes only through Christ in us, and rely upon him in prayer and in his word. A godly person is Christ-centered and live in godly fear, and that is important. So goodness is not godly. A godly person can be good, but let us remember, a godly person is the one who's centered in Christ and his word, and he lives in godly fear, and that is a godly person. And we must reflect our godliness, and this is one of the characteristics of Jesus Christ when he was on earth. He lives a godly life. He was prayerful. He depended upon God all the time. And Paul mentioned to us love. Love is like salt. Just imagine, if salt is withheld from your meal, you don't enjoy it at all. To have sweet Christian fellowship, there must be love for one another. Love is important. And we must express our love for one another in Christian fellowship. God is love. He who has God in him is able even to a degree of loving his enemies. Being kind to an enemy is not only helping him, it is helping ourselves. And when we violate the Christian principle of teaching of Christian love, we are the one that suffer most. There's a Chinese saying, a fire kindled against an enemy often burns you more than him. If I hate my enemies, it harms me more than my enemy. So the biblical teaching is that we are to love our enemies. And then a Christ-like life is one who has patience. Persistence towards God's given task will pay great dividends. God promised that if we are patient enough, we will reap, if we fail not. And some missionaries have spent their entire life in India proclaiming the gospel with almost no visible fruits and results. But their successor reaped a great harvest. We need to have patience in the Lord's work if we want to see results. And this is very true. In the Lord's work, many of us want to see quick results. Like some of you may put investment and want good results, quick results. And by the way, I don't do any investment. I just elaborate this. So in the church, I have been pastoring for 48 years. And our members want quick results. They say we want to see members, one person to. Within 1 year, I expected the congregation to grow to 500 members. I said, this is not what God wants us to be. Maybe He wants us to have patience, patience and endurance. We do not know how the Lord will help us. And all blessings must come from the Lord. It is God, He Himself, who will bless us, and not we ourselves. We want results. And we want it to do it so that we want to glorify ourselves. Let us remember this, that all things that we do, we want to glorify God and we want to humble ourselves. We want to hide behind the cross and let the Lord Jesus Christ be made known and be manifested than to make ourselves known. And then the Christ-like life is one who is meek, a gracious and loving spirit to return good for evil. Let me illustrate what is meekness. Sometimes you may not have this clear understanding. I give you a story, then you can understand better. Simple story can understand. A good illustration is shown of a man who threw a rock at a stray dog to chase it away. He broke its leg, and instead of running off, the dog came limping up to him and licked the hand that had thrown the rock. That is meekness. That is meekness. And I told my wife about this. He said, how can that be? And I said, well, that is my understanding. That is meekness. That is meekness. And we are to manifest the Christ-likeness in our lives. And in doing so, we find our life worth living. If you live godly lives, patience, meekness, and righteousness, you will find life worth living. If you live a life that is ungodly, you will have your home full of trouble. And it will not be surprising that in your home you will experience flying saucers. You know what is flying saucers? Your wife will throw plates all around the kitchen. That's a flying saucer. Because you have not been living a righteous, godly life. Perhaps of your adultery, perhaps of your evil practices. I do not know what are the evil practices, but you know of your own heart. You know of yourselves. So that is important. We want to bring glory to God to become Christ-likeness in our living. The more you develop Christ-like character, the more we bring glory to God. As we strive to live a God-pleasing life, we realize that in spite of our best intention and determinations, we often stumble and fall. But by our own strength alone, it is impossible. We need help, and we need God's help. And this is provided for us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, we live by the strength of God. And it is God, He Himself, who will help us. We cannot finish the Christian race by our own strength. We have to depend upon Jesus, who is in us, and He will enable us by the help of God, the Holy Spirit, And in order the Holy Spirit to work mightily in our hearts, we must purify our evil deeds and crucify ourselves with Christ daily. Lastly, the third point. A life worth living is one who lives for Christ. The Apostle Paul knew the true purpose of life. He says, "For me to live is Christ." For him, God was the main object of his love and devotion. The apostle's ambitions and goal in life was to remain faithful to his calling. And this is important. We must remain faithful to our calling, and we will serve the Lord to the end. Yeah, in this modern age, some may serve for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. But in the Lord's service, we will serve to the end. And that is important. We will remain faithful to God. To the end of his life was none other than Paul, who said, "I have fought a good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith." He always keep clear his goal in life until the day of death. Let me say, without God, life has no purpose. And without purpose, life has no meaning. Without meaning, life has no significance and no hope. So life without a clear purpose makes choice based upon circumstances, pressure, and their moods. And it is impossible to do everything people want you to do. I want to emphasize that we will only have sufficient and enough time to do the will of God, what God wants us to do, and we will do it for him. We can't do everything. We cannot be a man of jack of all trade. We can only do what the Lord wants us to do for him, and we will do it faithfully. Every one of us have a definite goal in life. God has given us different gifts and different abilities and different talents to fulfill his purpose while we are on the earth. Your talents and my talents are different. Maybe I just only have one talent only, and I use that talent for the Lord. But I thank God that my wife compliments my talent. So whenever I write the church bulletin, the article, my wife is my proofreader. And when I want to book an airline ticket to Malaysia, KL, my wife will do it for me. And she will be my proofreader, and my one to file up the notes, to remind me of my preaching appointments. So, because I'm not a good administrator, so each one of us has different talents and different gifts. We complement each other. We work together harmoniously for the advancements of God's kingdom. And this is why I say that my wife and I, we work together harmoniously. So far, we do not quarrel. We do not shut each other because we play our role well. And we need one another. We help one another. We co-labor together in the Lord. What a joy it is to serve the Lord together. This must be the Lord's leading. Perhaps I have prayed about it, and the Lord provide. And so, at this moment, I could see quite a lot of young people. If you are finding for a husband or a wife, make sure that you pray about it, and you will be able to see the harmonious and the joy of living together as husband and wife. So, let us remember that God has given us different gifts and different ability to fulfill his purpose while we are on the earth. Some Christians are never satisfied in their lives. They're never satisfied. Like in the olden days, you got one wife, you are not satisfied, you marry another, second wife, third wife. And I read this, first wife, second wife, you got the minor wife, minor small wives. And in those days, we had so many wives, they are not satisfied with what God has provided for us. It is important that in our lives, we must be satisfied with what God has provided for us. Be satisfied with what we have. Because God has given us different talents, different abilities. There will always in us a desire to be like somebody else. But the Lord make us for our purpose. We must be satisfied with the one talent or perhaps two talents or five talents that the Lord has given it to you. I want to illustrate this so that you can take home and remember this. And you see that the importance of giving one talent and use that talent for the Lord. And you will find that your life is worth living for Christ and for Him. Every one of us have one goal in life and one purpose. Maybe some of you have two or three, I do not know. God gave us different abilities to fulfill His purpose while we are on earth, and we must use that abilities and talents for His glory, and that is best illustrated by this story. The story goes like this, of a tortoise who was so unhappy because he couldn't fly. A tortoise couldn't fly. He was very unhappy because he couldn't fly like a bird. As he saw the birds having a good time floating through the air, he said to himself, "Oh, if only I have wings so that I can rise above and fly as they do, then I would be most happy and satisfied." Calling to an eagle, he offered him a great reward if he could teach only him how to fly. The eagle or the bird told the tortoise, "That was impossible." The tortoise was so insistent that the eagle finally said to him, "Well, I see what I can do for you." And so the eagle carried the foolish tortoise up to a very great height and let the tortoise down. And the tortoise exclaimed, "I'm now flying, I'm now flying." Despite of this fledging of his leg, the deluded creature went down and down until he landed on the hard rocks below and dashed to pieces. Well, if you are a tortoise and if you can crawl, thank God. Don't fly. I'm a tortoise. I don't fly. I don't. If people are flying high in the sky, I said, thank God. For God has given them wings and can fly high. And we have to be thankful to Him. So a lesson for us is that if you were try to imitate, if you are tortoise and you want to imitate like an eagle, you will smash to pieces and there will be no hope. So the lesson is, let us learn to be what we are and you will find life full of satisfactions, full of satisfactions. So the proud ambitions to fly when you are only equipped to crawl may cause many to lose a life of fruitful service by trying to do something for which God has not fitted you to do. Be satisfied with the talents that God has given it to you and learn to live worthy lives of God's calling. Don't try to be like John or Paul. A life worthy of living is a life that pursues God's purpose for you. Complete the task with joy and faithfulness and thankfulness. What is your ambitions, your goal, your purpose in life? Is your life worth living? And I conclude with these 3 points again. A life that is worth living is one who finds Christ. A life that is worth living is one who is like Christ. A life worth living is one who lives for Christ. If you remember these 3 points, you are on the right track. And I thank God that He helps me to understand, and I humbly abide to the teaching of God's word. And may God bless us as we serve Him together. May the name of God be glorified and honored as I share the word of God with you this morning. Amen.